reports direct from Melbourne courtside and from our offices in New York City. It's the Australian Open edition of the Tennis.com podcast. And here's your host, Ed McGrogan.
Hey everyone, welcome to the latest podcast from the Australian Open. Steve Tegner down in Melbourne, Ed McGrogan here in New York, here to talk about day six. The third round just wrapped up. It was a big night slate, especially down in when it came to the locals. You had Bernard Tomic, the 18-year-old, going up against Rafael Nadal. He loses in straight sets, but I think anybody could say put up a really nice show, all things considered. And then before that, it was Sam Stosur who went down in straight sets, number 5 seed, to Petra Kvitova, who maybe put the most impressive effort of all the four players this evening. So, Steve, you were there. Why don't you just run down what you thought about this this Aussie evening and what happened?
Yeah, this was a big night down here. They it was very big hype in the papers and on TV, and the place was crowded from the middle of the afternoon on, with people coming in to wait and to get in to see those two matches. They couldn't really go in beforehand. They were just allowed on the grounds. So there were people sort of milling around for hours getting ready for that, because they had really Sam Stosur, even more than Tomic, has been the big story down here. She's the one on the front page of all the newspapers. She's in advertising campaigns. She's really been the face of the tournament. So they put her together with Tomic and Nadal. And Sam Stosur just didn't come up with much tonight. She was outplayed, like you said, by Kvitova, who I was really impressed by. I can't believe she's ranked 28th in the world. She's played like she's in the top 5 tonight. Even the way she finished the match,
someone who hits that hard, lefty,
really smoothly,
serves great.
No problems holding out, won 4 straight points, hit really nice volley winner to end it. She's, in some ways, she was reminding me of a woman's version of Nadal, the way she was playing, just not just the lefty thing, but the sort of smart and clutch aspects of her game, sort of taking advantage of what Stosur's. Stosur had a lead, and then she gave it away, and then Stosur at the end, little opportunity maybe to make Kvitova nervous in the last game. She couldn't do it. She was bad all the way through the end. Obviously, she was nervous, but I chucked that one up to her. And then in the second match, Bernard Tomic really lit up the place for about 2 sets. Really unique brand of tennis. Just took the ball really early against Nadal, controlled the points, hit these sort of uncanny winners that he barely looked like he was giving any effort. The ball was going by Nadal, one of the fastest players in the history of the sport.
He doesn't exactly step into his shots, I would say, from what
he just it's all timing, it which is really fun to watch. He basically just stood at the, he said afterward he was willing to hit harder against Nadal. He didn't want to do his junk thing. He knew that was trouble. Tomic has a reputation of being good at tactics specific players, and he sort of thought that the only way to beat Nadal is to take the ball as early as possible, and he did that. And you can see that Nadal was fooled by his shots. Even when he was running shots that he would normally get running to his right on his forehand side, he was a step slow to those, and I don't think Rafa felt that good, but I think it was also because of the disguise that Tomic has, and Tomic also has a strange spin on his forehand. It spins like a screwball, like a slice in like a golf slice. It spins away from the guy, so very odd player to play. But Nadal, he got down in the second set. He didn't give in, and he still won in straight sets despite all of that.
Yeah. Tomic, I was thinking about it during the match. I was like, where have I seen this before, where you see a player who you really don't know what to expect, what the ball is going to happen? And I was thinking back to, like, in the NFL, they use these wildcat formations every so often in place of regular formations. And it sort of reminded me of that in a little bit. There was really, and you're right, it did kind of seem to play with Rafa for a while until he obviously had a great run in the second to get back from 0-4 down and somehow win the set. I think he probably did that in part Tomic, obviously, you know, in that position, he finally is in a lead, and it's really his to lose, and that's what he did. But the other Tomic hit the ball, I thought, very well, but I thought Rafa caught up to a lot of them because they were hit hard, but not exactly deep on the court. That's to take nothing away from Tomic. He really gave a I didn't expect this at all, really, from him, but I thought that's what I kind of thought from Tomic's side of things back here at home.
Yeah, no, he showed more. Yeah, when he got ahead 4-love in the second, he was up 2 breaks, and then he was serving and immediately gave back his serve at love. And that was, maybe if you lose that game, but if it's a tough game, that's a different situation. But giving it back at love, I think Nadal then realized, like, okay, he is vulnerable.
Yeah.
Because Nadal, when he was down 4-love, said afterwards that he was already thinking about the third set, but then he's, obviously got back into it after that.
Yeah, yeah, it was a nice showing by him just to get back in that one. The Stozer match, it was mostly wasn't too much of it was seen on TV on ESPN2. It was because John Isner and Marin Cilic, their match was over 4.5 hours, just about 4.5 hours, real long one that stretched on. This one, Cilic wins 9-7 in the fifth. From what when I was watching it, you did get a little for a brief couple seconds, maybe even for more than that. You did think back, of course, to the last time you saw Isner in a spot like this at Wimbledon. Both the guys were holding serve very comfortably, and you said you were there for that one. So
that was on Margaret Court, which is one of the side show courts that I've been calling generic this whole week, which, may not be the nicest term, but they're all pretty similar, but it had a good atmosphere. Isner's fame follows him around the world. He was a huge fan favorite in this match. Everybody knew who he was. I think the guy's more famous than Roddick at this point. But he plays these funny matches. Actually, Roddick said he was asked about Isner a couple of days ago, and Roddick laughed and said he thinks John just played the same match over and over and over and over. And he does tend to play these matches that, because he can't be broken and he can't break, they just don't end. And he always ends up sort of walking around with his hands on his knees. He looks like he's about to fall over. And then, a game later, he's winning the set. He has that ability. But this, I got out there in the third set and kept watching just because it was close. The points weren't exciting, very similar games, but they were well fought out games. They were, you could see the guys thinking out there and thinking what they could possibly do differently to get a break and then just failing. But midway through the fifth set, I remember, oh God, the Australian Open doesn't have a tiebreaker. I'd forgotten that until the middle of the fifth set. So I'm thinking, I'm never going to leave this stadium, but Isner was a little too tired, and he was serving last
second, so, yeah, and,
so
yeah,
that eventually hurt him.
Yeah, that was a big difference there. As Roddick said, or they mentioned the broadcast, Roddick said you can't teach 6'9", so that was one of the things that always can keep him in that match. But that was probably my favorite men's match actually the first week. Whatever you think of it, but just a good flow, good energy. I think you're right about that. It really felt, even over here in the TV, the crowd was really into that one from the end.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, well, we're going to wrap things up and come back tomorrow to look at the fourth round when that gets underway. For Steve Tegner, I'm Edmund Grogan. Thanks for listening.
You've been enjoying Tennis.com's weekly podcast. Thanks for listening. For all the latest news and events, head over to Tennis.com.